Circle, Jess here. Welcome to the March 2015 workshop for the Thriver Circle. And this month I'm talking to you about Instagram, specifically using Instagram to grow and get the word out about your creative business. So I go into heaps of detail about Instagram strategy in this workshop. I hope you find it really, really useful and you get a lot of takeaway information about it. Make sure to check out the workshop notes below. There's a couple of links in there. I talk about stuff during the actual workshop. So if you're listening to this on audio, make sure to pop over there and check out all the links and go from there. So let's get started with Instagram. So in this workshop, I'm going to take you through a whole lot of bits and pieces of advice for how to effectively use Instagram for your creative business. I think Instagram is a fantastic social media for us because it's visual. You know, there's a lot of conversations that go on, and there's kind of a high standard of imagery as well. And you can really grow, you know, a passionate following of people who are in your community, and you can really connect with them immediately and one-on-one. And the beautiful thing about Instagram, you know, as opposed to Facebook these days, is that, you know, everybody sees every post, right? So if somebody's following you and they happen to be on there, they're going to see your post. There's no kind of hidden posts and stuff like that. So by keeping a really consistent presence on Instagram, you're going to be able to kind of be in front of people's eyes, and then hopefully, you know, in their awareness more easily. So let's get started. The first thing is to get strategic about your use of Instagram. It's really easy when we start off with the social media, or when we get a bit comfortable with it, to kind of, you know, let it fall by the wayside a little bit, or use it one day and then not use it for a week and then come back to it again. And, you know, you really can't expect impressive growth if you're not being strategic about it, and if you're being really willy-nilly about how you're using it. So it's really important to actually put a strategy in place for, you know, why you're using it, what you want to achieve through using it, and how you're going to do that. So let's talk a bit about that. The first thing I want you to actually write down is, what is your aim with Instagram? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to build brand awareness? Are you trying to actually increase sales? Are you trying to tell your story and basically make people fall in love with your brand? You know, why? What are you using it for? What's the purpose? The thing about Instagram that is different to a lot of the other social media, obviously, is that you can't put live links in the comments. So, you know, the only link you have is that link, that one link that you can put in your profile. So you really have to use that with, you know, in mind. So one of the things I do is actually change that link. So for example, on my Ethereal account, if I was having a special or if I'd launched a new product, I'd actually change that link in the Instagram profile so that it went directly to the thing I want people to check out. So, you know, if I'm talking about something or I'm launching something for a couple of days, I'd change the link so that I was using that the link to that specific thing. So don't be afraid to change that link, and also change up what you write in that little profile as well. You might want to have like a top part that's always the same, but then you can change what's in there to actually engage your audience. So, you know, new launch happening, you know, from this date to this date, here's the page, off you go. So yeah, what's your aim with Instagram, and use it with that in mind. Do the photos you currently post on Instagram further that aim? So are you posting just random stuff? You know, whatever you find interesting in your life, photos of your kids, photos of, you know, selfies, your food, you know, all those kind of cliches. But, you know, what are you posting? Are you actually using your account for your personal use, or are you using it for business use? Or have you been melding the two? You know, you may come to the point where you actually want to separate your personal stuff from your business stuff. And I did this a while back after watching a really excellent workshop on Instagram by Sue B. Zimmerman through Creative Life. And she talks about this thing called featured accounts, which is actually, you know, you have separate accounts for different purposes. And, you know, the way she talked about it really blew my mind, and it convinced me that it was time to do that, because before that I just had a, you know, at Jess Van Den Instagram and was just using it for everything. But then I separated it out, so I still have that, but I also have an Ethereal Add a Ferial and an At Create and Thrive. And it's been really powerful because, you know, if somebody is interested in all of those things, they can follow all those accounts and they'll see everything in their feed. But if they're only interested in my jewelry or in Create and Thrive, then they just follow that feed and then they get, you know, a very specific type of content tailored to that particular business that connects with them, you know, in a way that they kind of resonate with. So, you know, are your photos actually consciously chosen to have a purpose? And if they aren't consciously chosen to have a purpose, that's something to think about. Okay, so are your photos furthering your aim? And are you using this for business or personal use? And if you're using it for both, you know, think, well, can I, you know, do my followers of my, you know, my handmade brand really want to see, you know, my kid walking or, you know, eating breakfast or whatever, or my cat, you know, I put some cat photos on there. I totally do that. But for me, like I do it on my Ferial account, and I actually do it consciously. I do it to show a little bit of our lifestyle, a behind the scenes sort of thing. And so some of that's okay, as long as you're doing it with purpose in mind. All right. So, you know, if you make kid stuff, awesome. Use your kids as models, you know, take photos of them getting messy or dirty in the backyard, wearing your hat that you sew, or the, you know, the pinafore you make or whatever, you know, so be conscious about it. So with that in mind, do you need a separate business featured account? So I've talked a bit about what that means already. And the beautiful thing about having a featured account is it allows you to get really focused. And, you know, you think, okay, well, this is my business account. So I'm, you know, it's not like you have to be all business and boring about it, but it means that, okay, every photo I post on here has a purpose, and it has to do with what my aim is for my business, for social media, for growing my brand and growing my business. And that can be actually really freeing, because having creativity actually flourishes under constraint. You know, if you have too many options, you get what's called choice paralysis. You know, when, you know, you go to the supermarket and there's like 11 billion different types of pasta. And you're like, well, which one do I go with? You know, you generally go with habit. So you go with the one you've always gone with before. Or sometimes you might branch out and try something new, but, you know, there's too much choice and you get overwhelmed, and so you just go for what you've always gone for, right? That happens a lot. So, you know, when you have a bit of constraint, you have a, you know, creativity within that space, and it helps you to make choosing content easier, because you don't have a world of things to choose from. You actually have a smaller suite of content ideas and options to choose from, and that will help not only you to make it easier to choose what you're going to post, but it will also make your Instagram feed look better, because it will be more coherent. And that's really important with Instagram. You know, the people who have hugely popular followings are the ones that are spot on with the feel of their feed. You know, if you click through and actually look through, you know, all of their photos, it'll all look together beautifully together. It won't be random, you know, bits and pieces that have completely different lighting and completely different feel and different filters. You know, it'll all be very consistent. So having a featured account kind of helps you to get that consistency and prevent things from getting too messy. And so the consistent style is a really important part of that. Really think about, you know, for Instagram, it's very visual. Like it's all about looking beautiful as much as anything else. So you really want to go into it with a plan for how you want your photos to look. Now, if you've already got, you know, if you've already done your branding homework, those of you who've done set up shop and you've gone through that project where we talk about, you know, the different keywords for your and colors and all your branding and those sort of basics, you'll have a feel for that. And if you've got a specific photography style for your product photography that's actually a bit unique, then you can capitalize on that in your Instagram as well. So for example, a lot of my ethereal jewelry products are photographed on this wooden background, and I use that same background in a lot of my Instagram photos when I'm showing in progress shots, and that, so it ties together really well with my shop because it, you know, has the similar background and has the same feel. So consistent style is important. So a couple of just rules of thumb, you know, these aren't hard and fast rules, they're just suggestions to make life easier for you, is to choose no more than 3 filters and fonts to use on all of your images. So if you're, I actually don't use Instagram filters very often. I usually pre-edit my photos. I'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, if you are using filters, decide on the ones that you like and that fit with your brand and use those. Okay, and that will make your Instagram feed look nice and beautiful and work together, and make sure they're similar filters as well. And fonts. So if you look at my Create and Thrive Instagram, you'll see I have a lot of images with words. Okay, so it's less about taking my own photos and more about making images, you know, to use to talk about a blog post or promote an upcoming e-course or something like that. And I actually have a style guide that I use for Instagram and all images that I create, and that has a limit. So it has limited fonts, it has limited colors, so everything and shapes and everything like that. So that way everything stays looking consistent. Okay, so if you're going to go that way, make that decision ahead of time and go, okay, I use this font in my logo, I'm going to use that in my branding and stuff like that. So that, again, constraints makes things easier. You don't have to scroll through 100 fonts. Which one am I going to use today? No, I'm going to use one of these three and these contrasting. So this one's a serif, this one's a sans serif, and this one's a script. Okay, and you have your fonts. So you might also like to pre-process your images. Most of my Instagram photos, I take them on my phone, I process them on my phone and upload them, except for the ones where I add text. I usually use Canva to do that. If you haven't seen the Canva workshop on Create and Thrive, head over there, just Canva, like canvas but without the S, Canva, and I've got a video workshop that shows you how to use that. And it's an online, free online graphic design software, and it's really easy to use. So if I'm not using that, I usually use Snapseed. That's my my app of choice for editing my photos. Snapseed, it's on the screen. So I'll have a link to that in the show, the notes underneath this workshop. And so that's my favorite, and it's really good. You can do a lot with it. You know, if you've got a photo that's a bit dark, you can up the brightness, you can up the ambient lighting or down and adjust the shadows and adjust all sorts of stuff. So, and you can crop it square, you know, all those things. So it's really, really good. And that way, you know I get a consistent look with my photos because I'm pre-editing them to make sure they look similar. So another thing, you know, most people do just post the square images on Instagram. But if you go to some, especially for actual photographers' accounts, they often will actually post whole photos. So, you know, either portrait or landscape type photos with just like a black or white bar at the top and bottom or sides. And the accounts that do that well do that all the time. So they don't do some full square photos and some partial, you know, landscape and portraits. They do one or the other. So just think about that. I've actually seen one that every single photo they crop it as a circle. So the photo's in a circle and then it's like white on the outside. And that looks really cool as well, because it's a good way to kind of quickly brand your photos. You know, like people see that and go, oh, it's so-and-so's photo immediately without even having to read who it is. So that's a little tricky thing that, you might want to play around with, but definitely go one way or the other. The key is having a consistent look, which, no matter which way you go with that. So I've just put here some examples of some accounts that do a really, really good job of all of this consistency business and have beautiful feeds and beautiful photos. So I highly recommend you go check them out as examples, just for a little bit of inspiration for who does really well. Okay, so we've talked about consistency in style. Now let's talk about consistency in subject matter. So the two things I want to talk about here are having niches and repeat themes. So what does that mean? Okay, so let's start with this. What are you selling? Okay, that could be, obviously, you want to be sharing product photos, right? Because you want to be showing people what you actually do. But that's probably not everything that you want to be showing. You know, you probably want to be showing other photos that actually reinforce your brand, but that aren't just plain product shots. Okay, so think about it. What sort of images and what sort of subject matter will reinforce your brand? You know, for me, you know, my jewelry is, you know, eco, so sort of nature. I use some nature photos sometimes, flowers and outside, and I live in the country as well, so that's, you know, that works in, ties in quite well with what I do in my jewelry. I do some kind of out and about model shots of me wearing my stuff when I'm out, you know, going out to brunch with a friend or out to dinner or something like that. You know, that makes sense because I'm selling jewelry, so showing how I wear it myself is a great option. You know, so things like that. Think about what sort of images reinforce your brand. And another thing is, you know, how can you involve your community in the whole thing? You know, what sort of images do you think are going to resonate with your target audience and actually appeal to them and draw them in? So niches are, it's an idea I got from the Dream Job Shop, and she talked about this in a post a long while back now about choosing three niches of photos, so three kind of categories of photos to focus on in your account. So instead of just taking photos of all sorts of things, she's like, okay, so, you know, for me as a jeweler, I might have my product shots, I might have modeled shots, you know, out and about shots, and then environment shots, so me, you know, being my life, you know, because my lifestyle is kind of wrapped up in that. So, you know, my environment, my backyard, my paddock, you know, my life in and around the indie lifestyle. So those are the three types of photos I might like to share. For you, you know, it might be something different. If you sell, again, let's use the kids' clothes analogy. Say, you know, you make kids' clothes, so you have product shots. You might have, you know, shots of your kids out and about or other people's kids out and about, and then you might have other sort of shots that somehow appeal to that audience of mothers. And it might even be the funny stuff, you know, like a little kind of mini video of one of your kids getting up to mischief or something like that, because, you know, your target customers are usually going to be mums or people buying for other people's kids, so aunts or grandparents, you know, so they have that affection there, and you want to kind of build upon that affection they have for their child and make, you know, them feel that way about your brand as well. So, you know, those could be your three types of product shots that you would have. So here we've got a couple of examples, you know, product photos, customer photos, and studio photos. So some bigger brands do this really well, where they repost their customers' shots. So, you know, their customers will always be taking photos of themselves and Instagramming it, wearing their whatever, and they'll repost those. I think Dog-Eared Jewelry is a good example of somewhere that does this. What's the other one? The Australian brand that make Black Milk. The guys who make tights, they do this as well. They have a lot of, you know, customers who Instagram themselves wearing their designs, and they re-Instagram it. So that's a really good one. If you get one of your customers who Instagrams themselves using or wearing or showing off a bit of your stuff, that's awesome social proof. So it's a great thing to share on to your followers. Obviously, if you do that, just make sure you give the credit to whoever the photo was from originally. And generally speaking, people are, you know, if they've put it on make sure their account is public before you reshare it. If you happen to follow them and their account's private, don't ever share their photos. Make sure their account is public before you reshare anybody's photos. And generally people are happy for you to do that, and they'll tell you if they're not. Won't be a problem, generally speaking. I'm not a lawyer, don't quote me on that. But I've never had an issue with that, and I've never heard of anybody else having an issue, because they're your customer, they love you, they're sharing something publicly. Chances are they're going to be happy for you to share it on as well. Studio photos, so, you know, in progress shots, that's one I do as well. I often will share, especially with my secret message rings, because I'm always doing different messages that my customers have written. I'll share those while they're in progress. Studio photos, behind the scenes photos, inspirational photos. Yeah, so there's lots of different ideas for niches. The key is to go, okay, let's pick three, at least for a period of time, and go with that. And that, again, helps you get that consistency going in your account. Repeat themes or consistent weekly, monthly hashtags are a really cool thing, again, to make your life easier and to make your account revisitable. So if people know something's going to be happening on a regular basis, they'll actually seek you out rather than just stumbling upon your stuff when it happens to pop up in their feed. So For example, you might want to have a weekly theme. So there are lots of them on Instagram. Motivation Monday, there's TBT, Turn Back Time Thursday, I think it is, where people all over Instagram will, you know, share an old photo of themselves. So somebody started that and it took off and it became popular. So, you know, if you want to do something like that, it's like a repeated weekly hashtag, something you come back to. One that I did on Create and Thrive for a while was called CT Sunday Self-Care, where I shared a post about taking care of yourself. So that's a really good thing to do. And it reduces that choice stress, that choice paralysis issue again. You're like, oh God, it's Monday. What am I going to do? Oh, it's Motivation Monday. I'll just share a motivational post. You know, so it kind of makes, again, you're busy. You've got a million things to think about. Reduce the stress, reduce the choice issue, and just make it as simple as possible for you to quickly share something. Okay, so Fat Mom Slim, her photo a day challenge that's been going for years now. People love that because it gives them a topic, it gives them a prompt. If you can come up with something, you know, like that to even encourage your community to share photos of their own, that's awesome. I did one with Create and Thrive a while back, and it was, you know, Create and Thrive month photo a day for a month about, you know, sharing your behind the scenes, and that worked really, really well to grow my account. So that was good fun. And so that's the challenge issue, which is what I was just mentioning there. The CT Month in the Life I did, Fat Mom Slim Photo a Day. Seven Vignettes is a nice one done by Jen, who's a Australian interiors blogger. And I did a competition back last year called CT Show Us Your Shot, a product photography competition. And that worked really well to bring people into my account. Okay, so whenever you do a competition like this, make sure as part of the entry, people have to follow you and then maybe repost something on their account again to kind of get that viral spread of your Instagram out into the world. And another thing, you'll notice with Fat Mom Slim, she's got the FMS photo a day. The reason she's done that is so that it doesn't get confused with someone else's, like someone else can't take that over and claim it's theirs, right? If she just had gone hashtag photo a day, that could have been anyone. But by putting her initials in it, she kind of tagged that as her own. And that's why I do the same thing whenever I do something on Create and Thrive. I actually put CT in it so that, you know, I've tagged it with the name of my account or the initials of my account. And it's easier for people to find that again and to know it's me. So that's a really good thing. So competitions, weekly, repeatable hashtags, repeatable kind of subject matter, all great ideas to kind of, again, make life easier and also make it obvious what's going to be happening, because people, like, you know, they're comfortable when they know something's going to be happening on a regular basis and they'll search it out. Okay, so giveaways are another really great way to obviously engage your community and give them something, make them excited about your brand, okay? Now, be careful not to overdo this. Don't be doing giveaways left, right, and center. And kind of keep an eye out. It's a weird thing, but, you know, you'll get a feel for the people you follow and then the communities you're part of. You know, if there's a big giveaway happening somewhere else, you know, try not to do yours at the same time. Try to find a bit of a space where, you know, people will be happy to participate in yours and share it around. So how do we do that? Okay, so my advice is obviously to go with one of your most popular products, if you can afford to. And put that up there. So, you know, you make it a photo of your product and you put a bit of text on the image. Okay, so make sure that you put your handle, so I'm at Afuriel, on the actual picture. Put the hashtag for the competition on the picture. So make up a hashtag specifically for the competition. So I use Win Afuriel because nobody else is going to be using that. So when I search for people who've entered, you know, generally I'll get people to have to tag me if they want to enter, but it's good to be able to look at the hashtag as well. So come up with a hashtag that's unique to you and unique to this particular competition. Don't use something generic that might have other people posting using that hashtag. And put that on the image as well. And generally, if you can fit it, put a little blurb about, you know, win this thing by doing this and this. So you might want to put win these earrings, repost this pic with the hashtag win Afuriel and tag at Afuriel. Okay, something simple like that. So require a follow to win as well. So you say, you know, that might be the first bit. It's like, you know, follow ethereal, blah, blah, blah. So point one, point two, point three. And if you can fit that on the image, obviously that's really, really good. If you can't, just put the basics like win this, you know, hashtag this, follow this and tag this. So hashtag win ethereal, follow and tag add ethereal. Okay. The importance of that, of course, is that what you want people to be doing is to reshare your photo on their account, therefore spreading it out virally. Okay, that's the point of a giveaway, is to get more people following you and build up your network and build up your account. So, you know, don't make the mistake of leaving important things off that image or off out of the competition. Use it to your advantage. So, you know, make it predictable. Make it easy. If you want to have like a monthly giveaway, a lot of people do that. They'll have a monthly giveaway and they'll share it at the beginning of the month, and then they'll actually reshare the giveaway image a few times throughout the month and give people a chance to share it over and over again. And then at the end of the month, they'll go through the entries and choose a winner. So that's a nice thing, because you can actually do it over and over again. And if you do, after a competition's over, so say you've done it for a month and you shared that same picture four times on your account, once it's over and the winner's drawn, you can always go back and delete those photos so they're not clogging up your Instagram feed. That's fine. You know, people often will curate their feeds. They'll go back and delete photos that, you know, don't really fit anymore or they don't want there anymore. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's fine. Obviously, if you want to keep the actual photo, make sure you have a backup of it somewhere else. Otherwise, it'll be gone. So competitions can be a great thing. You know, don't overdo it, and don't, you know, try to do it with a lower price point product to start with, but still something people really like and that will, they'll care about enough to actually enter the competition. Okay, cool. All right. So strategic following is another way to grow your own Instagram account. So what is strategic following? It's actually following people with a purpose rather than just randomly following people that you're interested in. Nothing wrong with randomly following people you're interested in. That's awesome. It's all about the community. But if you actually follow people strategically, you can build up your following and build up relationships with people in a really powerful way. So for example, you might want to follow influencers in your field. So they might be bloggers who would talk about what you make. They might be other makers who do what you do or something similar, who are really successful. And that way you can learn from them and what they're doing. Not copying. We're learning from what other people are doing, not to copy them, but to spark our own ideas and to go, oh man, that's such a great idea. What can I come up with that's something like that, but isn't exactly that, obviously. And another good thing about that is what you do, a lot of those really, if you find really popular people, so really popular Instagrammers, bloggers, makers, whatever, you'll usually find that they don't follow a whole stack of people. They probably don't follow thousands of people. They probably only follow a couple hundred people themselves. So what you can actually do is go in and see who they follow and check out those accounts, and you'll find new people who are in the same sphere of interest. So people generally who have a similar aesthetic, people who do a similar thing, people who are in a similar industry, and you'll be able to find those people and follow them. So that way you'll be able to grow the network of people you follow and find quality, interesting people to follow, so you can, you know, make connections with them, study their style and their photography, study their what they do and how they post and what they talk about. So that's a really, really good way to find people to emulate, people who can be kind of mentors in a way, right? And people who are successful in your industry that you can learn from. So that's a really good way to find new people to follow. And, you know, you'll often find that, you know, not everybody does it. Some people will see, look at who they follow and then follow people back. But that's not really what you're after. If it happens, great. What you're after is to build up a list of people that you follow who you can learn from and that you can make connections with. You know, because if you're seeing their photos regularly, you might want to like them and comment on them and actually build up a relationship with that person. So that's a really powerful tool. And also follow your customers. You know, if you have customers who are sharing photos of your work, go follow them back and actually continue that relationship. Like, that's really powerful. You're actually able to connect with them one-on-one in a non-threatening, fun social environment. It's, you know, it's kind of different to almost any other social media, right? So that's a really, really good way to gain connections with your customers as well. Okay, so another thing obviously is regular commenting to build your the awareness of your account and to build relationships with people that you want to connect with. You know, if you're scrolling through your Instagram feed looking at stuff and if a photo is compelling enough to you that you actually have a sentence worth of thought about it, stop and type that and actually leave it as a comment. Don't just go, oh yeah, keep scrolling on. You know, that's the point of comments, is, you know, to share what you're thinking about their work, and it's a really powerful way of connecting with people. You know, it's so easy to double tap or hit the like button. Okay, you do that all the time. It kind of doesn't really, I mean, it kind of shows, yeah, I appreciate this photo, but it doesn't really do much. Like, once you get, I think it's over 11 people liking your photo, it just goes to a heart and the number of people who've liked it. And I can tell you, people don't, well, generally speaking, most people don't go in and look through that list of people who've liked their photos, right? They just go, oh, great, 500 people. Okay, 15 people have liked my photo. Great, that's nice. Continue, you know. Whereas if you've left a comment, whole different thing. They see your name, they see, you know, your handle and your little picture, and they actually read what you've written. Generally speaking, that will work really well. Obviously, there are some massive accounts out there that are just too big, and then they'll never get back to you. They'll never respond to their comments because they get thousands of them. But most people don't get that many comments, and they will, generally speaking, if you ask them a question or you say something, they'll get back to you and they'll respond, and you'll start relationship. Okay, so if you think it, type it, because we notice comments. But obviously be authentic about it. And, you know, if you're here in the circle, I don't think you're an inauthentic person. You know, you wouldn't be here if you weren't. You're not going to be making stuff up and saying stuff for the sake of it when you don't actually mean it. Okay, of course, you just want to be authentic. You know, don't manufacture comments that aren't really genuine. You know, don't say it. Don't say something in a comment on Instagram you wouldn't say to the person's face with full-hearted enthusiasm and honesty. Okay, so yeah, always be authentic in your commenting and make that connection. And engage. I mean, I've been harping on this for this entire workshop. I think you probably get the picture by now. You have to engage and connect with people. That's what it's all about. You know, and you won't always be good at this. You know, there are days when I'm so busy, I can barely share a photo on Instagram, let alone go on there and actually comment on other people's and make connections. You know, the great time to do this, if you have these times in your life, is downtimes. Okay, so you're waiting in the shopping line, you're sitting on a train or a bus or public transport, you're one of your kids' you know, sports events, waiting for them to come on the field or jump in the pool or whatever. You know, those waiting times can be a really good way, especially because Instagram is on your phone. Okay, so it's right there. It's so easy to just jump in, quick, you know, scroll through, make a few comments, kind of make a few connections, put it away again. So those sort of, look for those gaps in your day where you're there, stuck somewhere, but you can't do anything else. Those are really good times to do that work of commenting and building engaging relationships on Instagram. You know, if people have, look at your stuff, of course, first. Have people asked you questions? Answer them. Have people left you a positive comment? Respond and say thank you. You know, simple stuff. But so many people don't do it, and they are losing out on an opportunity to connect with people. Be there, be present. Don't just be a ghost, you know, posting and running. That's not going to be effective in the long run, unless you're someone like, you know, Kim Kardashian or whatever, who are so super famous that people just love you for some reason. Not quite sure. You know, so generally we're not that popular or that famous. If we were, we probably wouldn't be here. So, you know, be authentic, engage with people. So this one, post daily, you know, the ideal. Right? This is the ideal. 2 to 4 times a day, spread out over the entire time you're awake as much as possible. You know, because especially if you're building your brand internationally, if you're focused on your country, so Australians, if you're focusing on selling in Australia, you know, English people, if you're focused on selling in the UK, you get the picture. If you're focused on your time zone, actually post in times when you think people in your time zone are going to be on Instagram. But if you're building an international business, honestly, it really doesn't matter when you post, because people are awake all the time, all over the world, at different times, doing different things. You know, it's always 9 o'clock at night somewhere, and someone's sitting in bed on Instagram somewhere in the world, right? It's always, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, people are commuting on the train somewhere in the world to get to work, looking at Instagram. Okay, so if you're building an international business, post when you can. Don't get caught up in what's the best time to post. Anytime. When you remember is the best time to post, okay? But try to spread it out so you do hit people at different times of the day, and mix it up a little bit maybe as well. If that's too much, if you're a creature of habit and you prefer to have an alarm on your phone that says, you know, 9 a.m. post photo to Instagram so you don't forget, do that, whatever works, okay? 2 to 4 times a day if you can. Ideally, that would be great. If you can just do once a day at absolute minimum, fantastic. Just to keep it fresh, keep it going. It's all about the consistency. Everything is about consistency. Recency, you know, you want people to be seeing you on a regular basis, keeping you fresh in their minds. And watch for peak times if appropriate, okay? So if you're focusing on a particular country, whatever, particular time zone, if you're those of you who have local businesses, obviously this will be important because you want people in your local area to come into your business. For you, that's important. Watch for peak times of usage for your community. Okay, so hashtags. It's good to have a hashtag strategy, okay? So one thing I do is have a bank of hashtags. So you put your hashtags in the comments, not in your caption, generally. So, okay, so when you post an Instagram photo, you know, you write that first little blurb, which is your caption of your photo. It's okay to put maybe 1 or 2, maybe 3 hashtags in that caption, but don't go above that. You know, you don't want it to just be hashtag city in there and then people don't read it because it's just, well, too many hashtags, okay? Write something, maybe put 1 or 2 hashtags dropped within what you're writing, or 1 or 2 at the bottom. Post that. Then go back into that photo, and in the first comment underneath it, that's where you put your bulk of hashtags, okay? If you want to actually use a hashtag strategy to find new followers, that's what you do. That way, that first comment will get shortened, so it's not like this big long list of hashtags. It's just a little bit, and so it won't interrupt so much with the conversation, and it won't overwhelm people so much. Okay, that's a nice little trick, because the point is not, you know, for those hashtags when you're trying to bring people into your account, the point is that not that people who look at the picture see the hashtags. The point is that people find those hashtags when they're searching for them elsewhere and come to your picture. So it doesn't matter if they're readable. Okay. So look for popular tags in your industry. So I would use jewelry, both spellings of jewelry, rings, sterling silver, you know, design, some sort of Etsy tag, those sort of things, okay? Look around what other people in your industry are using, popular common hashtags, and use those. Feature tags like Etsy AU seller, or Etsy seller, or, you know, made it seller, or folksy seller, or whatever. Look around. If you sell on venues, generally they will have hashtags for you to use. So go and use it and take advantage of those. I'll just skip that broken thing for a second, come to the bottom. Keep a hashtag bank. So what that means is you've done the work to actually work out the, you know, a whole lot of hashtags that apply to your brand. And I actually keep on my phone, there's like a notes function, and I actually keep all of the hashtags related to Ethereal in one note, hashtags related to Create and Thrive in another note. And then when I want to put them on a photo, I just hop into my notes, copy and paste the hashtags that I want, whack them in a comment, you're done. Okay, you don't have to type all of them out over and over again. That's just a waste of time. So keep a hashtag bank, and that way, you know, you're also not having to brainstorm hashtags every single time. You've got a whole lot of them there. You've already thought about it. You go, oh yeah, these ones are appropriate. Great, let's put them on that photo. And you don't have to do that straight away. So maybe you post a photo with like 2 or 3 hashtags in the caption, and it gets that initial flurry of activity on it. And then maybe 6 months. 6 hours, 12 hours later, or 6 months, you come back and that you put that lot of hashtags in the first comment or whatever the next comment space is. Okay. And that will bring another lot of people into your shop via the hashtags. So a nice thing to do. Now, the broken tags thing, there's a couple of hashtags on Instagram that are kind of so overused that they kind of break everything. I think photography, love, a couple like that. If you actually put that hashtag, it'll prevent any of the other hashtags from working. It's a little bit weird. I can't remember the list. Just Google broken Instagram hashtags and you'll see the ones that are the popular or common, not popular, the common ones will come up. Try to avoid those so that you don't get penalized because it breaks all your other hashtags. Okay. Collaborate. Collaboration is an awesome thing, and collaborating on Instagram is a wonderful thing as well. So, you know, if you can collaborate on a competition, on a giveaway, on some sort of circle, like there's loop giveaways where a whole lot of people participate together, those sorts of things are a really, really good way of, again, spreading your brand far and wide. So work with complementary brands, not competitive brands. So you're looking for people who aren't making the same stuff as you, but who make things that feel the same. Okay, they've got the same aesthetic, the same target customer. So I would look for people who make maybe clothes or other accessories, or you know, even bath and body products, whatever that works with my aesthetic, as long as they were modern and eco, right? Great. And you could work with them to do joint giveaways. So you both build upon each other's popularity and each other's communities, which is great. So look for people who are kind of at a similar or a little bit further ahead of you level when it comes to their Instagram following. You know, don't go for the kind of really popular, unless you know them, obviously, in which case, awesome, go for it. But otherwise, look for kind of the complementary brands who are on a similar or a little bit further ahead level of you, because it's got to go both ways, right? It's got to work for both of you. You've both got to get something out of it. So, you know, that's a fair thing to do. Strategic group giveaways. Okay, maybe not just two people, maybe a whole group of people, and you do a loop giveaway. Just Google loop giveaway on Instagram. You'll find out more about that. And, you know, you support each other and you'll build a nice close relationship with that person who you're doing a giveaway with. So it kind of is win-win all around. It's a really nice way. You might even collaborate on a project together and you can both show you behind the scenes of what you're working on and to build up buzz. You know, there's so many options here, but yeah, going beyond just your own self and your own brand to work with others is really powerful. Brand ambassadors are another really good idea. So brand ambassadors are people who like will wear your stuff and share it. You'll send them, you know, new designs for them to kind of critique and stuff like that. Yeah, so have a look at that idea. It's a nice one as well. Okay, so I've talked a lot about all of the ins and outs, and I've mentioned a few things like, you know, reposting other people's apps photos. Well, how do you do that? I actually, on Create and Thrive, I have a list of my favorite apps. I'll put a link to it in the workshop notes to that post that goes through my 12 favorite Instagram apps that I use all the time. You can also, if you pop over to Create and Thrive and search Instagram, I've got a couple of posts about Instagram. So one of them shows, you know, gives you a couple of ways to repost other people's photos. So yeah, there's a few nice posts on there. And again, I'll link them up in the workshop notes. So, you know, I love Snapseed. There's Insta, I think it's called Insta Downloader or something. They've changed the name somewhere along the line when I was using it. I can't remember which one it is now, where you can just download other people's photos without, you know, how like Insta reposts and stuff, they have like a bar across the bottom. It's really ugly. I don't like it. You can just download the actual photo and repost it without putting any of those overlays on it. Great app. Stuff like that. Okay, there's so many great apps out there that let you use Instagram in a more strategic way. So definitely do your research to and play around with apps to help you make Instagram better. Okay, so that is pretty much it for today. If you have any questions about what I've talked about in the workshop today or any Instagram questions in general, please, if you're just listening to this on audio, pop over to the Thriver Circle blog and look for the March 2015 workshop and pop your questions in the comments there, and I will get in there and I will answer them for you. That's what I'm here for. So, thanks so much, guys. I hope you learned a lot from that workshop about how to strategically use Instagram to grow your brand. And if you have any tips that you have, things that you've heard about or learned that you've worked out, please do share them in the comments as well so we can all learn from each other. And I'll see you next month. Bye.